So good to see everyone this morning. A little break from the humidity outside. It's not as bad, but we're glad that you're here on this Lord's Day and pretty sunshine. And we're so thankful, especially to our visitors, you've come to be with us. And we're thankful that you're here. And today's Father's Day, this Lord's Day, an extra blessing today to be together to worship God, but to think about our dads and our love for them, our memories of them, if that may be the case. But our lives are blessed because of the dads that we've had, and we're so thankful. But we honor you today, and we hope that you feel and have a special day today, you fathers in our audience. But we're glad you're here. We want to begin by thinking about those who are on our minds that have been sick and that are undergoing some things. But please continue to remember my dad, Tommy Simpson, as he continues daily radiation and weekly chemotherapy. Please pray for him. And Ms. Shirley Estes, she, of course, recovering from a fall, a lot of pain. Still, we pray for her, but that will be remedied soon. And we're also glad that we had Randy Grisham with us at worship last week. And he was here during VBS too, and that's so great. But we're glad that he would improve enough to do that. And Miss Lola Hurt, she remains a patient in the Tippah County Hospital. And then please be thinking about and praying for Mallory and Winston this week. She has, as you can see on the screen, that the fetal MRI scheduled for Wednesday. She'll meet with the neuro team, and they'll continue to guide them and help them as they prepare for Theo's birth. So please be praying for them for this week, for sure. And also add Tom Moffitt, Ms. Beverly Moffitt, many of you know, but Tom Moffitt, last night, I'm in communication with her late last night. He has a collapsed lung, and he's in New Albany Hospital in ICU, improved, but they have difficulty for a little bit, but things seem to be stable now. But please remember Tom Moffitt and Miss Beverly. And we think about the family of Miss Ruth Decanter, and she passed away on Tuesday. We sent the message out that her funeral was yesterday, and then learned this morning that Miss Pam Wooten has passed away. Miss Pam Wooten passed away last night. Many of you know her and maybe work with her in the school system in North Tippah, but Ms. Pam Wooten, please remember her family. We got the news this morning about that. We're sorry to hear about that. We just wrapped up Vacation Bible School, and it was great. And it was a lot of work. It was great because so many people, everybody had a job. Everybody was doing something. There were people going everywhere, and it went so smoothly. And I just love it, and it's so great. And y'all are so awesome. And the kids loved it. It seems like it gets better every year. But it was great, and we certainly appreciate all the work and all the help and Winston's direction during that. It was great. Our Ripley's VBS will begin on the 26th through the 29th. It'll be from 6 to 8 o'clock, so that's Ripley Church. Have their VBS the 26th through the 29th. There were a group that went laser tag, and yesterday had a good time. And there was a group of people, one lunatic in the back. But had a good time, a lot of fun. But thanks for Winston for organizing that. We had a good time. Please, and also, if you haven't paid Winston yet, please do so at your earliest convenience for that. But that's for that. That was a great time. Upcoming events, we have a lot of kids, our bunch leaving for Mid-South Youth Camp today. So let's pray for all of them, safe trips there, for their parents that'll be thinking about them as they're gone, but they'll leave today, be gone this week. So we'll pray for those. We'll have a great time, and it'll be a great experience. But now on this Wednesday, we're going to take the van to be with them on Wednesday night. They have a worship service on campus at Freed Hardeman. They bring them to the campus, and like they do every year. So we'll be able to go and see them and worship with them that Wednesday night. We're going to leave from the church building at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. We'll send out a remind to let you know, but we have a sheet down front. We want to make sure we have plenty of room on the van for all the kids that want to go, parents that want to go, So you'll sign the list down front. We'll leave at 4 o'clock on Wednesday to go see them. Saturday the 25th, there's a picnic and Devo for kids 5th grade and under at the Fellowship Building, and have some games and some time on the playground and some singing together and a little devotional. It'll be a good day. That's Saturday. And then Sunday, a week from today, the 26th, the evening worship will be at 5 o'clock. Evening worship next Sunday will be at 5 o'clock. And then following that, everyone who wants to come, our youth, parents, whoever, we're going to be at the Park Gym at Ripley from 6:30 to 8:30. We'll have a devotional there, have food provided, have playing ball and other things, games set up, just have a good time. And that's next Sunday evening at 6:30. Our services will be at 5, and then we'll have this from 6:30 to 8:30. If you can, help with desserts. If you'll sign the list also to help with that for that night. That's next Sunday night, just the desserts, because we can have food and drink there. And then the 28th, we'll take the van. Winston will take the van. All the kids from our church that want to go and ride the van to Ripley's VBS that night. So we'll announce all this stuff and remind you later on. And also to the ladies, it's time to replenish the shower fund. So if you could see Kay or Monica and give your money to them, the $20, and replenish that so we can be ready for the next events that happen. But that's for all the ladies, the shower fund. I'm just going to review, make sure I didn't miss anything. Okay. Now, the men that will be leading us tonight in our worship service tonight is Will Simpson, Mike Griffin, and Ben Gillard. And those who will be leading us in our worship this morning, Paul Ward will be reading from God's Word. Winston will have our opening prayer. James Willingham has our closing prayer. And King will bring us the lesson of the hour. And Dustin, in just a minute, will lead us in our singing. Paul and Janet Key, we're glad to have you. And you'll leave Thursday, is that correct, to go back to Cameroon? Well, we'll be praying for you. And you, Sister Janet, he'll be gone. I know you're taking care of your mom and looking after her. So we've been thinking about you all, but we're glad you're here. Always. So thanks for coming and being with us. Well, we're praying for you. Sure are. Now let's begin our worship to God as Dustin will lead us in our singing.
Number 621 will be our first song. We'll sing all three verses.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. I have
We'll sing the first and last verse of number 730.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love.
Scripture reading and prayer this morning, number 706.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, thinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from Ephesians 6. Verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Our most kind and gracious God in heaven, we're thankful for this beautiful day that you've given us. We're thankful for God that you are, the love you have for us, the fact that you blessed us so much in this life, that you give us the opportunity to be able to gather together here this morning, dear God, and to worship you, to focus our minds on you, to sing these songs to you, to hear the words, to preach to us here in a moment by Brother King. And we're thankful to God for each other. We pray to God that as we live our lives daily, that we do so with our brother and sister in Christ in mind, that we do so knowing that we have the responsibility to be lights in this world of darkness, to carry your word to the lost of this world. We pray to God that we can lean on one another, that we can pray for one another. As we see this task at hand, that we know that you blessed us so richly in our endeavor to do this. We ask you, God, that we can do this together, that we can grow in knowledge and love for you together, dear God. And we can exemplify your love and your mercy and your grace through how we talk to others and how we treat others and show others the truth in your word. And dear God, we think about today and what this means, it being Father's Day. And we're thankful to God for all the fathers who are here, those who are dedicated to you, dear God, as they raise their children, the faithful and Christian fathers. We're thankful to God for them and their dedication, taking on this role and being that person and that guiding force to their family. And we ask, dear God, that they can always reflect on you, that you are a Father in heaven, and the love that you have for us, dear God. While we can never reach that love, we pray that we as fathers, dear God, can do so. We can always strive to do that. And through the grace that you give us, we'll be able to get close to that, dear God. We can never reach that love you have for us, the love that you show us through your Son. We're also thankful, dear God, for those who've carried out that road to other people here at this congregation, those who've been father figures to us throughout the years by showing us your love, by teaching us about your word, dear God, about showing us how we should love one another and the roles we should take as we try to live our faithful lives dedicated to you and your service. And we're thankful, dear God, for them and what our fathers mean to us, dear God. We pray, dear God, this morning for those that we're thinking about who are sick and those who are recovering at home, whatever their respective needs might be, those who are in the hospital recovering, dear God. We pray for strength for them, for a quick recovery, if it is thy will. We also pray for those that we love dearly who lost loved ones here recently. We pray for them, if we do it, that you will comfort them emotionally and spiritually in the days and the months and the years ahead, dear God, that you will bless in the ways that only you can. And we're thankful, dear God, for the leaders of this congregation, our elders and our deacons, and we understand that they make many decisions for us, and we ask that as they do so, they take your word into account, dear God, that they pray and that you will guide them. You give them the wisdom, guide them through your word, God, give them the wisdom necessary to make the most beneficial decisions for us and for your kingdom. And God, we realize that we are here this morning because we have hope because of your Son, Jesus. That we get to love because of your Son, the fact that he came to this earth, dear God, that he forfeited his place with you in glory to come to this cruel world full of sin, full of death, and full of hate, and to carry out his life of perfection and take that perfection to the cross for us, dear God. And through his perfect sacrifice, we know we can have our sins washed away through our obedience and our faith in you, and us following your will for our lives. And we're thankful, dear God, for that, for what your Son means to us and the hope that he does give us. We ask that we can keep him in the forefront of our minds as we live our lives. We will not fall to temptation. We know that we will fail you, dear God, and for that we are sorry. And for that we ask for strength and we ask for forgiveness. All these things we ask in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Song for the lesson this morning would be number 537. Number 537. We'll sing the first and last verses.
Oh, thou blessed rock of ages, trusting thou here Lord in thee. Keep me till my journey's ended, till thy blessed face I see.
When the storm around me rages, Rock of Ages, hide thou me. When my journey is completed, and there's no more work to do, Savior, guide my weary spirit. Happy land beyond the blue. Hide me, O blessed Rock of Ages, till thy blessed face I see. When the storm around me rages, Rock of Ages, hide thou me.
You would mark in your songbooks number 459, number 459.
Thank you, Dustin. Those good selections and well-directed and beautiful singing this morning. And it's always beautiful to me to hear the voices of this congregation. And we had an opportunity yesterday afternoon to hear the voices of some of them, Beach Hill Singers, who provided the lovely service of singing at the funeral for our longtime fellow member here, Ruth DeCantor. Appreciate all that's been said this morning by way of interest and concern in this congregation. And I'm constantly amazed at how well Ryan does that. He gets so many things said in just a very few minutes and says it very well. A lot to keep up with. And it sort of leaves me dizzy trying to keep up with it. But he's available. So if you have questions about any of that, you know who to talk to. Appreciate the reading from Ephesians chapter 6 by Paul and Winston's prayer this morning. And certainly happy Father's Day to you men. And we do appreciate you, especially in your work to have influence upon your children and your grandchildren in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard the reading from Ephesians 6. That is our text from this morning, our keynote text, at least, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. A Christian family or home is in view, of course, here in these words. Paul has been speaking about marriage in the preceding a paragraph at the end of chapter 5, and he has in view there a husband and wife, both of whom are Christians. They're part of the body of Christ, and they're people who have been cleansed by the washing of the water with the word, and so they're people of faith and devotion to the Lord, part of his family, the church, and this relationship between parents and children is brought to our attention at the beginning of chapter 6. And this relationship to be understood according to God's will. It's not just the relation between parents and children as the world may see it and may experience it, but he's speaking again here to Christians. And this is understood according to God's will, and what a blessing that ought to be to their family. The enhancement of the good of the family because of the influence of the gospel in their lives as a husband and a wife and father and mother, and then upon their children. And so this enriches the home and strengthens it and brings about the fulfillment of God's purpose for the good of those sons and daughters. And so in this relationship, there are differing roles and responsibilities as God designed the family and as he wants to impress upon these parents also as Christians. There is a respect that is to take place always and to be evident in this relationship. It's a respect for father and mother. It's also respect for children. They're human beings made in the God's image, and they're in the care of these parents and dependent upon them and the influence of these parents upon these souls being brought up before God as God wants them to be. So this is a mutual respect that is here. And there are rules for life involved in this. The rules are rules, first of all, that come from God and his influence, and then through the influence of the gospel, the the children growing up in the household learn that there are rules for life, not just daddy's rules, mama's rules. These are rules about what the good life is really about. And then even better, the life in Christ. And you're going to learn that from a father and mother who are Christians and love the Lord. Now, both parents are in the picture of this family. Honor your father and your mother. First commandment with promise. Solomon at the beginning of the book of Proverbs said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 1, verse 8. But fathers are in special focus here because of their headship of the family and because of the need for fathers to be faithful in fulfilling this duty to nurture their children in the training and the teaching of the Lord. Paul's word choices here are quite informative. The idea of nurturing, to bring up, that implies that God didn't intend for children to bring themselves up. They are certainly in need of being brought up and brought along toward the goal that God has in view for their lives. And so, fathers, you have chief responsibility in this. Your wife is a helpmeet that is ideally suitable in this work. She has her role in this along with you. But he's speaking here again to the man, the head of the household, and his overall responsibility in this family, to bring up these children in the way of the Lord. Or as Paul puts it, in the training and teaching of the Lord. This word for child training here would speak of all that's involved in giving the kind of training and direction to a life. And that certainly will involve, as need be, correction. Just like the next word he uses, which means basically to teach. And that includes with it encouragement. But if it's needed, it includes reproof and correction. And so the whole direction of life that these children are to see that's coming to them through the influence of their father is moving them along in life as God wills, because this is of the Lord. And as they are to be respectful of God's will and their response to their parents, obey your parents in the Lord. This is what the Lord wills. This is right. So also they see as they grow up in such a home what their parents are doing. All their example, all their teaching, all their instruction, guidance, encouragement, correction is because they want us to grow up as the Lord wants us to grow up. This is what it ought to be in a Christian family, a Christian household, this kind of influence. That's not going to look just like the way it is among all of our friends and our friends' families. It's going to have a different appearance to it, a different tone to it. There are going to be some significant differences about convictions, about morality, about the purpose of life, about priorities. And where did this come from? It came from God, through the gospel, through the influence of my parents. Father and mother who believe this and take this duty seriously. Okay, 4 or 5-year-old is not going to see that. But he'll begin to see that more and more clearly at 12 and 15. And then the day will come in early adulthood that he will have a very clear understanding and remembrance of that. And then the day will come with great love and appreciation and glory to God when he or she will say, "Thank God I had parents that brought me along in that way." What will this father be teaching? What kind of training will he be giving in this home? But just look at the immediate context. This is going to be training about what it means to have a home like that. So as they grow up in that home, they will be learning from the example of such a father, what it means to be a husband and a father, as they will learn from a mother about what it means to be a wife and a mother. So you know the passage there at the end of chapter 5, 22 through 33, that relationship between husband and wife. Paul speaks of that first before he speaks to these children, these parents, and then to this father. And that will be taught, that will be taught by the lessons that are spoken, both from the Bible and in day-to-day life, and by the example of this father. But chapter 6 closes the book at verse 10 and following, after Paul gives these words of guidance for the household. In chapter 6, verse 10, finally he says, "Be strong in the Lord." I know when I was a little boy in church, and church services sometimes might seem to me to be a little bit long, I liked hearing the word "finally" when the preacher was preaching. So Paul comes to "finally" in chapter 6 and verse 10. You know, he has some important things to say there, summing up the entire book, speaking to Christians, and Christian fathers ought to read that "finally" paragraph, Ephesians 6. About being strong in the Lord. Little boys and girls in a congregation need daddies who are strong in the Lord and who understand what it means to be strong in the Lord. Paul's not talking about stubbornness, being headstrong, although it may appear that way at times to young people. You may think that their daddies are just stubborn and hard to communicate with, deal with, because he said, "Remember the rules," one day when we didn't want to think about the rules. But there was a need for a father to be strong in the Lord. And there are rules for life. We talk about maybe having a curfew or about associations. It's not about being stubborn. It's about concern for your soul. Loved you all your life and still love you. And these rules didn't come just from your daddy. They came from above, the influence of God and the gospel. Paul knows that this can be misused, be abused. A father could have a style of parenting that doesn't produce the result that God intends. Style of parenting that forgets the Lord's ways. All that Jesus demonstrated in his life and that we can learn, and we ought to learn him, as Paul says back in chapter 4 and verse 20. This is the influence of the gospel, to learn Christ. And that ought to be in the heart and the ways of a father. So we don't want to produce a result in which there is just constant and angry rebellion that goes with the child out into life that he learned at home through a very poor relationship. But there is a need for fathers to be strong. There are some things that are not negotiable. We learned that from the Lord, too. The Lord didn't present to us the gospel way of salvation and then the Christian way of life through his teaching and then say to us, "And what do you think about it? If we need to make some adjustments here, we'll see what we can do about the rules." No, that's not the way the Lord has operated with us. If fathers understand that who are Christians, and there are going to be some rules, and thank the Lord that they're strong in the Lord. And we appreciate that more and more. But back in the chapter 5, let's take the look at the broad view of this. Go backwards here into the 5th chapter again. And notice that he begins chapter 5 by reminding us about our relationship with God. Be imitators of God as beloved children. God is our Father. That's how the letter begins. Back in chapter 1, verse 3, the word of worship, praise, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our Father, not exactly in the same way, but through the gospel, God is our Father, and we're to know him, to imitate him as his children. His children grow up in a family and at times imitate their daddies or imitate their mothers, take on a likeness. So we are to have a likeness with God, who is our Father. And then you can begin there, and over the next 21 verses, before you get to the passage about marriage, Paul is talking about some of those rules for life, principles for the road by which Christians are to live. And you can follow that. It's very easy to follow. And I know some of you have followed it closely recently in the young adult class when you studied Ephesians so closely for a long time. And what is the first one? It's about love, verses 1 and 2. The world is confused about love, and a lot of young people grow up in a confusing environment about love, and in Christian homes, that ought not to be. A Christian father and a Christian mother can guide their children to understand what true love is. And it starts by knowing about God's love for us and how Jesus Christ has shown that in his service, his sacrifice, his self-giving for us. He loved us, gave himself for us. And children growing up in a Christian home will become more and more aware of how much daddy and mother loved us and gave themselves for our good. And so they learn about love in this family. They learn about it in their father and mother, the marriage, the home, all of this. And that understanding goes with them out into life and into relationships. And love will know that there are some things you can't call love, as Paul goes on to say. In actions, in relationships, in words that are used, conversation. Can't call those things love. Those things come under God's judgment. And it's easy to be deceived about those things, Paul says, and he reminds us of that. Don't let anybody deceive you about these things with empty words. Those things have nothing to do with true love. I remember very early in my work as a gospel preacher, full-time work, first congregation where I served, getting a call one time from somebody that was a victim in a family situation, talking about a spouse who, talking about his love, you know, his love was just so great, it couldn't be confined to one woman and this sort of thing. And then you're dismayed that people could use the term love in such a distorted way. But that's characteristic of the world. Now, that was 40-something years ago, and it's still true today. A lot of confusion. Then the word light. Paul speaks of light here in contrast to the darkness of this world. It's a fearful thing now to bring up children in this society. With all the images and the propaganda coming to them through the internet and every venue in life that they experience. Every day they're exposed to moral, spiritual, religious darkness. You have a great responsibility as a Christian father, Christian mother, help your children see the light and keep their eyes focused on the light in a world of such darkness. It's frightening to think about what they see and hear every day. And if they didn't have your guiding hand and words to help them stay focused on the light. And then wisdom is another keynote in this passage. To look carefully how you walk. Not as foolish people. And there's so much foolishness in the world around us. Foolishness, of course, is the twin sister of wickedness. People making foolish decisions because they think foolishly. So Paul said, look carefully how you walk. Notice this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. See those two words, time and days. Redeeming time. How precious time is. But something's at work here that makes it very important that our children learn how to make the best use of time as God willed. Because there's something happening all the time. The days. It's a powerful force that's against the days, said Paul, are evil. And in these evil days in which all of us live, as Paul lived, as Christians experience anywhere, all the time, we must be a people who are alert to that and who are making the best use of time every day. Where will children learn that? But from father and mother who are Christians, who live with this wisdom and want to impart it to their children. And one more keynote word that we'll use here. I've spoken of love, light, wisdom. Notice how Paul concludes this chapter by taking us to church, as we might say, using our vernacular. He brings us into the assembly of Christians worshiping, praising the Lord in song, thanksgiving, prayers, because that's vital in bringing up these children in the way of the Lord. Have them among God's people in the purity, the simplicity, the holiness, the sincerity and earnestness of worshiping and serving the Lord. We thank God for our children. We want them to be children of God. We fathers have great responsibility. We want them to be children of the Father in heaven. It's through Christ, by one Spirit, they have access to the Father, said Paul in chapter 2, verse 18. If you've not yet come to God through Christ by the word of that Spirit, we're going to sing a song of gospel invitation. If in your heart this morning you believe in God, in his Son, Jesus Christ, and you would make that decision to turn to God through his Son, with such repentance, you can confess your faith and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Let us stand and sing.
Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. There's danger and death in delay, except God's saving grace. His life on the cross he has given. Oh, come while yet you may. He's earnestly pleading, oh, make no delay. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. A home up in heaven is waiting. Oh, make the start today. Repent and confess and be baptized. There is no other way. Give Jesus your life and let's walk in his way. Tomorrow may be too late.
Be seated, please. taking the Lord's Supper this morning. We'll sing number 226. Sing the first and last verse, number 226.
Why did the Savior heavenly and come to earth below?
Start opening up your wafer. I'm going to start in Joshua chapter 3 this morning. Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged therefore before they passed over. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass over before the people. And they took the Ark of the Covenant, and they went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that thou may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Then Joshua called 12 men who he had prepared of the children of Israel, one out of every tribe. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up, every one of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off from above the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there until this day. And those 12 stones, which they took out of Jordan, Joshua did pitch at Gilgal. And he spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which is dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. If it was important that Joshua and the children of Israel taught their children and their grandchildren about these memorials that were left for them about crossing over the Red Sea, how much more important is it to us that we teach our children and our grandchildren about this living memorial that we partake of, that's not commemorating crossing a river, but passing from death to life by his blood? This command to do this is not grievous, John says. His commandment's not grievous. It's not a hard thing that we do. It's light. It's a very easy thing to do. Now may we pray. We thank you, Father, for this bread. Please bless those partaking of it with the memory of that sacrifice that was given for us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. May we again pray. Please forgive us our sins, Father, as we partake of this cup. And we pray that we remember that blood that was spilled for us. And we pray this in the name of the one that was crucified for us. Amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper. Now we'll give thanks for the offering. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with all those things that sustain our lives, with all those things we need and even more. Please accept our gifts, which we return, which are so small, and bless us by our giving. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Again, thank you for being here with us, especially those of you that are visiting. Please come back and be with us at any and every opportunity that you have. We'll meet again tonight at 6, our Sunday evening worship service. This time, would you please stand for singing of A Common Love? Thank you, King, for the lesson this morning. What a great, great lesson.
A common love for you.
again, thank you for this day that you've given us an opportunity to come here and worship you. We know that there are many on our hearts and minds, those that have been mentioned here, those that are going through treatments, those that are going through sickness, those that's lost loved ones. We ask this time you'll please comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Lord, on this day, we'd like to thank you for our fathers, those that are currently with us, those that have went on before us. And please be with us as fathers, dear Lord, and the ultimate father with the instruction that you've given us, that we'll do our best to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Dear Lord, we know that we fall short many ways. We know that you're a forgiving God, and we ask that you'll please be with us as we do. And our children will always understand that the things we do comes from our heart and the instructions that you've passed through to us. Please be with us as we go throughout this week. Give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to make the right decisions. Be examples of those around us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.